Welcome to the Riches Podcast Series. This is our summer 2013 content we are delivering to you before we launch our new series, A History of Central Florida, in August of 2013. This is a two-part interview with Dr. Jim Clark from the University of Central Florida. In this first interview, I spoke with Dr. Clark about his research and recent publication examining the 1950 U.S. Senate primary election between Claude Pepper and George Smathers. This was one of the most colorful and significant political campaigns in Florida. Professor Clark talks to me about his research and why we should remember these two political characters from Florida's past. I'm here with Jim Clark. And Jim, I'd like to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I want to talk about your book that recently came out, Red Pepper and Gorgeous George, which is about the 1950 Democratic primary for the Senate in Florida.
Yeah, 1950 is so long ago for most people, and it's forgotten for the most part, living on only in legend, associated with things that did not happen in the campaign. Claude Pepper was the incumbent U.S. Senator, had served for 14 years, and in the 1940s, his popularity began to decline. And in 1950, a young congressman named George Smathers took him on and, in a very tough, nasty campaign, defeated the incumbent, the first incumbent defeated for the Senate in Florida.
So what drew you to Claude Pepper?
I began this project when he was still alive. He died in 1989. At the time, again, this is also something that people have forgotten. In the 1970s and 80s, Claude Pepper was one of the most powerful men in America. He had come back from this humiliating defeat to become a congressman and then became a champion of the elderly. And so you had presidents of the United States who routinely checked with Claude Pepper before proposing legislation involving senior citizens. It was Claude Pepper who pushed for the huge expansion of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. So at the time when I began this, he was one of the key figures in American politics.
Yeah, I remember Claude Pepper in the 1980s, and you're right, he seemed almost untouchable in a way. But I guess you studied him at a point when he was his most vulnerable in his political career.
I did, yeah, and the perfect example of his popularity ebbing and flowing, Claude Pepper was on the cover of Time magazine twice, once in 1936 and once in 1986. So 50 years apart, which shows what kind of a political career this fellow had, and how powerful he was, both in 1936 and then again in 1986. But in between, he was unemployed for much of the time and went through a lot of personal crises.
So you said you started thinking about Claude Pepper, at least, when he was still alive. Did you get a chance to meet him, or?
I did. I met him. I did not get to interview him. I set up an appointment and went up to interview George Smathers and Claude Pepper. And I went to Washington. And on the Sunday night before the Monday interview, I got a call from Pepper's office that Pepper had gone into the hospital. And they'd have to put off the interview. And I didn't think much about it. I went ahead and did the Smathers interview. But in fact, Claude Pepper never came out of the hospital. So I missed my chance to interview him at length.
And did you spend, or at least come to the George Smathers part of it in the same way as Claude Pepper? I mean, this seems like kind of like a dual biography almost.
It is. And I think that Smathers has been tarred with the charge of running a nasty campaign, running an unfair campaign. And in fact, what actually happened is that Pepper, over a period of about 10 years, gave his opponents plenty of ammunition, and George Smathers simply used the bullets furnished by Claude Pepper. George Smathers ran a brilliant, modern campaign in a state that had never seen anything like it. The kind of things that we take for granted today, George Smathers introduced in Florida. Direct mail targeted at specific groups. Every Rotary Club member in Florida got a letter, "Dear Rotary Club member." Every member of the League of Women Voters got a letter from George Smathers, "Dear member of the League of Women Voters." And so he ran a campaign, very much a modern campaign, whereas Claude Pepper was the old stump speaker from an entirely different era and just represented a whole different generation.
Did you find yourself sympathizing with one more than the other?
I think I started out sympathizing with Pepper more, but then as I read the things he did, I couldn't believe he would do some of the things he did and not understand the consequences. For example, several times he challenged Harry Truman. He tried to deny Harry Truman the vice presidency in 1944. Briefly, he ran against him for the nomination in 1948 and said that Truman should not be president. And then he couldn't understand why Truman didn't like him. It was just kind of a strange thing for a man who knew so much about politics and yet could not understand why Harry Truman was out to get him.
I guess that didn't stop his longevity in politics.
No. Pepper was a great opportunist at finding an opening. When Florida was booming in the 1950s, in the 1960 census, we got several new congressional seats. Pepper, who originally had come from North Florida, by this time had settled in Miami, and ran for one of these open seats. He had stiff opposition, and most people expected him to lose. One of the funny things that he did during the campaign, he had written a letter to President John Kennedy saying how much he admired Kennedy. Kennedy wrote him back and said, "Thank you very much. I hope to see you soon." And Pepper said that that amounted to an endorsement, that Kennedy wanted him in Washington, and used that as the campaign tool to win the election, that he supposedly had Kennedy's endorsement, which he did not have.
And did Smathers have the same political longevity?
Smathers did not, strangely enough. Smathers was a three-term congressman in the House and then a three-term senator. What happened to George Smathers, I thought, was kind of tragic. His best friend in Washington was John Kennedy. Smathers was elected for his third term in 1962, still a young man. But after the Kennedy assassination, all the fun went out of politics for George Smathers. He simply did not enjoy it. He had reveled in it while Kennedy was alive. He and Lyndon Johnson were close, but it just wasn't fun for him anymore. And so he had made up his mind not to run in 1968. So he stepped down in his 50s after three terms in the Senate. He could have kept going for another three terms easily.
So what made the 1950 election so important?
1950 election is important because of what would become the be called McCarthyism, but which really is Smathersism. McCarthy used communism, often labeling people falsely, ruining lives unfairly. Smathers, well-disciplined, was able to use things that Claude Pepper had said, facts, not fiction, to destroy Claude Pepper. Pepper had been right about Adolf Hitler. he had predicted accurately that we would go to war with Germany. And you cannot imagine in the 1930s the American reaction to this. He was hung in effigy on the Capitol grounds. People wanted him tarred and feathered, saying that, you know, how dare he suggest we're going to war with Germany. But of course, he turned out to be absolutely right. As World War II came to an end, he correctly thought that relations with Russia would be the prime issue in coming campaigns. And of course, he was right. Problem was, he got it wrong. He thought the key would be having good relations with Russia. And he went out of his way to go to Moscow, to praise Joseph Stalin, to go on radio in Russia and say what a great man Stalin was. And when he came back to the United States, he began a series of speeches before communist-linked groups, clearly with communist ties, and didn't seem to understand that this was going to hurt him. And I keep being surprised at his naivete.
So if I get this straight, at this point in time in 1950, he was at the cusp of a transition from maybe New Deal politics to Cold War, and he wasn't equipped for the Cold War.
Yeah, he was betting the other way. He was betting that there would be no Cold War, that Russia and the United States would join hands and make the world a better place. And so people tried to tell him, Claude, you're making a mistake here. And he kept saying, no, I was right about Hitler. I'm going to be right about this. And he would not let it go. And so Smathers ran a brilliant campaign. For example, every day of the campaign, he announced another left-wing convention or group that Pepper had spoke to that was on the Attorney General's list of subversive organizations. So Claude had done a lot of this to himself. He wanted to be a player on the national stage. He wanted to be president. And he never understood why a racist Southerner, even though he was liberal on many issues, was never going to become the Democratic nominee for president.
And so what happened between 1950 and, of course, later in life, where he was able to rehabilitate himself and become this Claude Pepper most people remember in the 1980s?
Well, he was very good at finding issues. Again, Hitler in the late 1930s, Stalin, although he got it wrong in the 1940s, and then when he went to Washington in the 60s, big supporter of John Kennedy, and then of Lyndon Johnson, and called for the enlargement of all the government spending programs. Some people have joked that when we talk about the deficit, we ought to call it the Pepper deficit, because he was the one who pushed for this massive expansion of federal programs and was a big supporter of Lyndon Johnson's. In the 1970s, he was a law and order candidate. He saw that as an issue, and he was right. With Nixon and Vice President Spiro Agnew, he got himself appointed chair of a crime-fighting committee. And then he saw, as the World War II generation was getting older, his generation really, the problems of the elderly, and became their champion. So Claude Pepper was great at finding issues.
So this election in 1950, what do you think was the long-term impact? I mean, so, you know, this is how many years later, 60 plus years? Why is it that we should remember this specific point as a pivot in American history?
I think it points out how difficult it still is in a lot of ways. We've had the election of Bill Clinton, of course, who was a Southerner from Arkansas, but how difficult it has been for people from the South to attract a national following. It'll be interesting in this case to see what happens with Senator Rubio. The fact of the matter is, though, Florida is the largest state in the union that's never had a president or a vice president or a presidential nominee or a vice presidential nominee. Pepper thought by taking these positions, he could break that record. He really thought he was going to be president. And it turned out that his positions trying to gain support in the North cost him his job in the South.
And so looking back at this, do you think that, Claude Pepper gets the larger legacy over George Smathers?
It's so interesting. That's a great question because it's almost like keeping score. Claude Pepper has a library at FSU, and George Smathers has a library at the University of Florida. So even in death, they're kind of competing with their dueling libraries. But I think what surprises me is how forgotten both men are. That George Smathers was a giant in the Senate, that both Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson depended upon him to help them with legislation. Claude Pepper, of course, all this social legislation of the 70s and 80s. And yet, if you say their name to most Americans today, they just kind of look at you. They don't get it.
And I know historians, one of the things that they have to address, or at least maybe one of the hurdles they have to get over, is the idea of myth and myth-making. So what myth-making did you have to confront in a project like this?
I think the biggest one was that Pepper had been this poor, innocent victim. And, of course, as I did the research, that turned out not to be true. The second one was what's known as the speech. Supposedly, Smathers gave a speech somewhere in North Florida to a bunch of crackers, and he used big words trying to confuse the voters into thinking there was something wrong with Claude Pepper. And, of course, the great line that lives today is that he said that Claude Pepper's sister had been a thespian in wicked New York. And that was supposed to make the crackers think it was some horrible thing rather than just a synonym for actress. So I did the research and finally found George Smathers had said all his life. He never gave any such speech, that it was just this kind of joke that grew up and got bigger and bigger and ended up in textbooks, in newspapers, all kinds of places. I think I Googled the term thespian in wicked New York and got more than 250,000 hits. So obviously, this is going to live on, even though I found out it was not true.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me for the Riches Podcast. If you enjoyed this interview, look for Jim Clark's book titled Red Pepper and Gorgeous George, Claude Pepper's Epic Defeat in the 1950 Democratic Primary, published with the University Press of Florida. And stay tuned for the next episode, which will be part 2 of this interview with Dr. Jim Clark.